Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Jubilati, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Tommy Tuchel faces Ole Gunnar in the Prem, and West Brom need a win against Brighton. It's Friday, 26th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome, a one and all. My goodness, I love a Friday when you've had some sweet, sweet Europa League action, Luke Moore.
Yes, absolutely agree. Although I made the error of watching the lion's share of the Leicester City game. But it could have been
the
worse.
Bad one.
Though it could have been worse because I could have watched Manchester United, couldn't I?
Well, you knew not to because of the first leg.
Exactly. But you never know what's going on. You might get something a little bit interesting with Manchester United. But I didn't. I watched the Leicester City game. But look, it's fine. I was really, really negative about the Wolfsburger game the night before. I don't know if you guys heard, but I just thought it was appallingly bad. Andy Brassel will probably be about to tell me why actually Wolfsburger are a really good team and one to watch out for the future. But it was awful.
I was disappointed with you saying that because Dele Alli scored an overhead kick.
It's a lovely one.
And based on that performance, Jose Mourinho was saying obviously he was back to his best and so on.
but can I just say, I thought the best thing I could do, Marcus, in this situation, and I think you'll be on board with me here, just get straight back on the horse.
Yes.
Get straight back on the Europa League horse.
Yes.
And so I did that last night, and I'm pleased I did.
Well, fair enough. I mean, did you enjoy the Slavia Prague players FaceTiming Suchek, the West Ham midfielder, in the centre circle after they beat Leicester, and he was celebrating with them with his old shirt on?
I thought it was unnecessary, but I very much enjoyed it.
But you stuck around for that, at least.
I heard it happen and I went back and watched it.
Oh, OK. I didn't want you to miss that little Easter egg. Yeah. Andy, did you watch a particular match last night? I know you're a big fan of the Europa.
Yeah, I watched Arsenal-Benfica.
Oh, yeah.
And because I know you've always wanted me to reveal who my Swiss Super League team is, I watched Leverkusen versus Young Boys afterwards.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're a big fan.
I think everyone knew
Boys.
You were a fan of Young Boys, didn't they?
Uh-huh. There's a joke in there somewhere. But but yes, I think, Andy, you warned a few of us off watching Benfica versus Arsenal last week, or in the previous leg. The first leg, rather. The previous leg. There's only two of them.
How many legs? Is it a Netflix series?
How many legs?
It wasn't even the series finale last night. It's three more to go.
We're up to our seventh leg here, for crying out loud. Yes, but it was a great win for Arsenal, though, you have to say.
Showing a lot of character.
Showing a lot of character. If Bukayo Saka is not their player of the season, then who on earth will be, Andy?
He was terrific again, and he really saved Arsenal because they were finding a great way of Arsenaling it, going out on away goals in a time where there were no home games would have been spectacularly Arsenal, especially the manner of the second goal as well, the way that Ceballos gave that away, and the fact that Benfica were terribly out of nick. I mean, all the Benfica players was saying afterwards, we played one of the best teams in the world, and you know, we just came up a little bit short. And it's one of those ones where you think, really, footballers have a completely different relationship with this reality than we do. Of course, it was like a Champions League tie in name, etc., but not in actuality. It was very enjoyable.
Did you like seeing Adel Tarat in there?
I get to see him all the time. I'm not fussed.
Well, your mates with him or something?
Oh, showing off. Can you believe he's only 31, by the way?
No, I can't.
I thought he was well older than that. I thought he was probably mid to late 30s by now. He's been around forever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That is madness. Luke, when's Saka off to Man City then?
Yeah, exactly. That's probably on the cards, isn't it? I saw a little bit of this game, and I thought it was an entertaining one, obviously, and it was a big test for Arsenal. When Ceballos decided to do what he did, like some kind of interpretive, kind of modern art approach to European football, where he would just, just... I don't really know what he was thinking, particularly with that headed back pass, because in the replay you could actually see him looking at the forward player from Benfica, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he still carried on doing what he was going to do. It was almost like he said, I've decided what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'll just check. Yeah, it's probably not on, but I've made my decision I can't go back. The worst thing you can do is change your mind. No, Danny, that's a penalty. Do change your mind in open play. Mm. Change your mind all the time as the situation developed. But no, he didn't want to. So I think he would be, as someone was saying last night, he'd be the most relieved. He'd be the most relieved Arsenal player in there.
It's nice to see some bloody mindedness back at Arsenal, but it's not in the way they wanted it.
No, exactly. I will fuck this up. Yeah. And no one's going to stop me. But Andy, did you I mentioned, I think last week, on a talk about chatting about Emile Smith Rowe and then their signing of Martin Odegaard, and whether they signed Odegaard because obviously they had the opportunity to do so, but also they weren't entirely sure that Smith Rowe could consistently perform at his age in that number 10 role. And it kind of makes sense because one of them's left footed, one of them's right footed, but then you've put Saka in the mix, who's brilliant as a wide forward. Last night, I wondered whether they were finding it hard to have a bit of a mix and a blend with all those players playing.
Well, they've barely. I think it's a decent point, but they've barely played together. So I think it's
but
really
just
the start.
I mean,
of
it's
it.
Just as Smith Rowe getting his feet under the table, Odegaard comes in and he thinks, "Well, what's happening here?" You know.
Yeah, I can understand that, but then again, it's a game where you don't really need to worry about development and the development of talent. They just needed to win. It was that simple because Arsenal lose that, or Arsenal don't score that Aubameyang goal late on, and their season's pretty much done. Yeah. So I think for that, all the question over Odegaard, which for me has always been, why when you're developing young players do you sign a player with no option to buy who you're basically developing on behalf of someone else, whether Real Madrid are going to use him or whether they're going to sell him on a profit, whatever the case may be. But for this game, that doesn't matter at all, because as I said before, there's so much pressure on it for both teams, because Benfica, who were like beyond nailed on favourites for the title at the start of the season back in Portugal, they're in fourth place at the moment, and Jorge Jesus is really under the pump. So both coaches were really under pressure, and sometimes that doesn't come across if you don't have the context, and of course if you don't have fans in there as well to give you that sort of fervour. But after it, Jesus had to answer all sorts of questions about his future. Now, I'm not saying Arteta would have had to do the same afterwards, but there would have been quite a post-mortem-y feel to it, I think, if you hadn't have had that Aubameyang goal.
Marcus, do you agree? Because some pundits said that, what Andy's just said there about Arsenal's season being over, they've been knocked out last night. I mean, they're only 6 points off sixth. I mean, they could.
No, but that's to get back to the same place, though, isn't it? I mean, they want to move forward,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always nice to see George Jesus, though, Andy. It doesn't matter if he's winning or losing, you know.
Okay, your dad, Marcus.
Good to see that head of hair. I'd like to bring a former Arsenal man to our attention, Laurent Koscielny. Bordeaux, of course. Did you see he gave an extraordinary press conference yesterday? He said about being at the club, the atmosphere isn't great. There's a lot of players whose contracts are ending and who want to leave. And then when asked about his teammates, he said, I was instilled with some important values in life. We haven't had the same upbringing and I'm having some trouble with that. And he apparently had some heated words with Hatem Ben Arfa after their recent game against Marseille. I mean, that's bound to happen, isn't it?
It doesn't sound like Ben Arfa.
That's just words to Hatem, I think.
I think what's the most amusing thing when thinking about that is if you ask Ben Arfa his side of it and he said, Koscielny had some heated words with you, you go, oh, did he?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd just be totally unaware of it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what you expect, like, going to Bordeaux. Do you expect to win cups? Do you expect to win titles? I realise they're in a bad place at the moment, but that's partly because the owners are putting no money in. Mm. And partly because if I personally was playing for Bordeaux, the chateau, oh my God, the chateau at the training ground, yeah. I would find it very hard to motivate myself to do anything other than have nice lunches.
Yeah. Hatem Ben Arfa, right? Putting the shat in chateau.
Is that what's happening? They're just sitting around like in a beautiful chateau.
I think it's too relaxed.
Eating loads of food and drinking wine. Think I've got to do a game on Saturday.
What's he moaning about? The atmosphere isn't great. You know, it's bloody
sounds
brilliant.
Amazing.
Is what it is. Yeah. You silly sod. You know, blimey, O'Reilly.
I think it's his fault. It's Laurent Koscielny's fault for breaking up the peace.
It might well be. Chaps, before we move on from the Europa League and to the Premier League, little mention for Rangers. Steven Gerrard's doing a great job. Another high-scoring game in the Europa League. They obviously beat Antwerp in the final leg of that tie. I tell you what,
the season finale
of the round of what was it, 32? I forget. Yeah. It's ridiculous in there. It's like a round of 108, and then it's the round of whatever. And eventually, you think, oh bloody hell, the final's here. But I tell you what, Luke. I mean, the draw hasn't been made. It will be made later today. But looking around, there will be a few teams who fancy themselves to go a little bit deeper in the competition than they may have thought when they entered it.
This round of this competition, more than any other, when it pertains to Rangers, it depends who they get in the draw, right? Mm-hmm. You can get an incredible breadth of different types of teams in the next round.
Yeah.
Andy, I'm right in saying it's not seeded the next round, right?
No.
So it could get anyone.
Roma, for example.
They could get Manchester United or Roma, or they could get a Dinamo Zagreb or mm-hmm. a Slavia Prague, who probably on balance were the better team over two legs to Leicester. I thought Leicester were very sluggish in both those games, and struggled to find a tempo. And I'm not quite sure whether that was to do with Slavia Prague being great or whether Leicester were a little bit lethargic. So I don't really know what to expect from them. But if Rangers get a decent draw, why not? I mean, why not get into the quarterfinals? That'd be amazing.
If Ryan Kent's finishing off beautiful moves like that, Andy, it's all
looks a really
for.
Good player.
I think if you look at the way that Rangers have played against good opposition, against opposition like with more money and resources than them, if you go back to the group stage against Benfica, who they outplayed twice and should have beaten twice, they've been terrific all season. The football they play is fantastic. I think there are a lot of big names in there, but there are not a lot of teams that make you think, wow, that's too much.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see why Rangers shouldn't be confident going into it.
Yeah, well, we'll see the draw later, gentlemen. We know the draw for the Premier League this weekend, though. Chelsea are at home to Manchester United. And obviously Manchester United easily went through against Royal Society in the end. Interesting that Bruno Fernandes started that game. And Ian Wright's a little bit concerned about Bruno Fernandes. He says he feels that he's getting more frustrated with his teammates and that could spill over and actually become quite unhelpful. And Andy, we know Bruno Fernandes likes to lead. He's a sort of a talisman, if you see what I mean. But do you think he's going to get too pissed off playing for Manchester United ultimately?
I think he's going to get too tired. I mean,
yeah. Well, and bear in mind, Ian Wright was quite an angry player. And he's going, well, I tell you what, I know what it's like to blow me top. I'm just going to go off.
It takes one to know one. He's the arbiter of who's angry and who isn't. I'd love that.
Yeah.
That would be excellent. I've no idea. Why do you pick Bruno Fernandes for a game like that? I don't understand at all.
He wants to play every game. He strikes. Yeah,
the only thing I can think of is that he wants to tick over. And he kind of knew he was only going to play the first half and he needs to keep active maybe. Because he always wanted to play. It's throughout his career, Andy, really. He's always wanted to play, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's still relatively young at the top level. I like the idea that he's turning into Harry Kane or Messi already, though.
Hmm. Yeah,
well, I thought it was mad that they. I mean, there's absolutely no reason at all to pick any of their I don't want to be disrespectful to some of their other players, but any of their quote unquote important players ahead of their game against Chelsea, which will be absolutely key, and it's going to be a really fascinating game. I thought it was strange. The only thing I could think of was that he just said, like, I want 45 minutes to keep ticking over, so could you please just let me start and bring me off a half-time kind of thing. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, well, Amin Diallo made his home debut last night, which is good to get him sort of up and running. And little Schola came on as well, youngest player ever to represent Manchester United in Europe. So there was a few, I would say, sort of experiments, if you like, but there was a few players who wouldn't normally start games, Luke, but I do take your point. But focusing on the game against Chelsea, Manchester United, they have been quite enjoyable to watch at times this season, to be fair, because you don't know what you're going to get. There's sort of goals at either end. But they've had a few nil-nils against the big six this season, which included against Chelsea back in November. And Andy, do you think with Solskjaer, perhaps he's a bit underrated when he thinks, right, let's make sure we keep a clean sheet here. Going on, though, that particular sort of stat, it's perhaps to the detriment of scoring a goal. But this Manchester United side, you don't think of them going, right, we're playing against the big side, we're going to set up shop and make sure we get a clean sheet.
I think that might be the aim. I'm not sure that's actually how it unfolds in the game itself.
They've had a few nil-nils against some of the big sides this season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Manchester United would always be reactive. I think largely reactive under Solskjaer, and that's fine. But I have to say, in terms of what we're going to be looking forward to as a spectacle after a week where both of them have been in Europe and some players have played minutes they maybe shouldn't have, I'm not massively optimistic about this being goalmongers, to be perfectly honest. Are we going to get Pete in a bit to predict a no-goal scorer?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
More of that
he
later.
Might do. That's the one thing that will guarantee a goal, of course. I hope
so. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see what he comes up with. Chaps, a man who's often sniffing around Manchester United, because certainly one or two of his players are there, is Mino Raiola, who spoke to BBC Sport this week. And he explained that when he suggested Paul Pogba's time at Manchester United could be over, he said, I just expressed an opinion. I didn't want to cause any problem. Whenever I tell my opinion, everyone in England goes berserk. Is he backtracking slightly, do you think?
Does he not know that Pogba's injured?
Yeah.
So he's not playing again? He's not playing?
Well, or maybe kind of, because I think his time could be over and Paul Pogba's gone, actually, I'm quite enjoying it. Do we have to...
Yeah.
Do I have to move so quickly?
Also, I mean, Andy's the European football expert here, so maybe he can give us some insight. But to me, I'd like to know the mechanism here. What actually happens? Does Mino Raiola actually call people up whenever he feels like it? Or do people constantly call him, trying to get him to say something? Because he is the most vocal agent since Eric Monster Hall, God rest him. And I'd like to know whether this comes from Raiola just constantly agitating or whether people just know he's good for a quote, so they call him up. And I also want Andy to describe, that for those who listening who haven't seen what Mino Raiola looks like, how he normally dresses, because to me it's absolutely fascinating as well for a man of such means.
Well, you have to say he's clearly taken his talk with BBC Sport very seriously, because I believe he wore a polo shirt and not a hoodie.
So, normally it's tracksuit bottoms with a shirt with about 5 buttons undone, which hasn't been washed.
I see. I can't even picture him in a shirt. It's a T-shirt for me. He basically tries to throw off the scent of any kind of importance or wealth that he has accumulated, of which, both he's got a lot of.
I'll tell you what would be good. I'll tell you what would really throw the cat amongst the pigeons if Mino Raiola wants to actually make some proper headlines. Mm-hmm. Dress like he normally dresses,
yeah,
but with the Pep Guardiola Man City bin man jacket on.
Nah, yeah.
Imagine him being photographed with a Man City coat on. Mino, if you're listening, yeah, get out there.
He should
do that.
Yeah, if he had a bit of sense of humour and he really wanted to... I mean, he confessed in this interview that he said he's bothered by the way agents are perceived and said, my players don't call me a parasite. I only care what the players call me. Yeah, they're the ones you're making money for, mate. Yeah. They're the last ones who are going
to... I think, know. Marcus, he said in this interview, I'm hoping to do business in the near future with some clubs that I've pissed off in the past.
And there's the reason. There it is. He's quite strange. I mean, again, Mino Raiola's suggesting he's backtracking is suggesting, I don't know, some sort of dictator has had a change of heart and maybe he's felt he's been a bit tough in the past or something. But it is quite interesting to see his little comments there and think, okay, well, what are you after? And then you say that, Andy, and you say, oh, okay, well, that's what it's all about.
I mean, Marcus, are we saying that this summer's transfer market is going to be so difficult that it's already at the point, not just where we're going to have loans and delayed purchases and obligatory clauses and stuff, we're going to have a situation where Mino Raiola's nice to people?
Yeah, exactly. That's how bad it is.
This never happened before.
We've reached the bottom of the barrel.
I think we might get to a point where the only people in football with any money won't be any of the clubs. It'll just be the agents and the players.
Yeah.
And so there'll be no moves at all.
Well, and Roman Abramovich, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, because apparently his newest yacht, Solaris, is almost complete. So
thanks very much for letting me know about that.
That is
big news. I was actually worried for that.
He's always got a few quid in his pocket. We can put the pot on that. 460 feet and it has cost £430 million to build.
That's huge. 460 feet for a yacht. That's over 100. That's 100 odd meters.
That doesn't count as a yacht at that point. It counts as a ship, I think, navally.
Oh, is that right? It's bigger than all of our houses and flats combined. I've no doubt.
Of course.
It's believed to be his eighth yacht. His current boat, Eclipse, has its own missile defence system should it come under attack, presumably from Mino Raiola.
But I also do think it's worth saying that I could pop down to like the local marina and find a boat there that's bigger than all of our flats combined. I mean, we all live in London. We're all living in a shoebox. That's not a massive surprise.
We're all bleating poverty. Did you see that there was a rubbish report yesterday which was from Italy that claimed that Maurizio Sarri had agreed to return to Chelsea after Lampard was sacked, but Abramovich stopped everything. He got the old missiles ready. He said, another word out of you and I'm launching.
I'm fucking pissed off. I'm supposed to be finishing a yacht today. I could do without this shit. But can I just say, I've been completely conditioned now whenever anyone mentions the word Maurizio Sarri to not think about an amazing coaching career all the way through his life to culminating from like a literally... you know, coaching in Sunday League in rural Italy all the way through to winning the Europa League. All I think of now when his name is mentioned is Jim Campbell saying, he eats fags.
Yeah.
He eats fags.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dearie me. Oh, it's always nice to have a little bit of... I just think that was European football chat anyway. But of course, Andy, if you want more European football chat, where do you go?
Good old On the Continent on Football Ramble Presents. We can do that for you. This week it's me, Dotton Adebayo, and Lars Sivertsen. And we're talking about the Champions League quite a lot this week. We've got a bit of Lazio Bayern, a bit of Jamal Musiala. I know you don't want to talk about it, Marcus, but so we're going to talk about it on your behalf. Also, we'll be talking about the Ménage à Quatre at the top of Ligue 1.
Well, nice one, Andy. That, of course, is out now, ladies and gentlemen. So go to Football Ramble Presents, hit subscribe, and you will never have any regrets ever again in your life. Let's have a quick break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is Plush Care. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God. And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show, available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yes, this is from Will Blackman. Hi, lads. Just letting you know that while he was in the Arsenal Academy, Armand Traore brought a knuckle duster with him to an away game at White Hart Lane.
I read about this. I completely forgot this happened. And this from Will was reminding me. He said, yeah, he said to the Daily Mirror, he said, coming from France, I used to go to PSG v Marseille and the fans there would batter each other. And I was only 17 and just started playing for Arsenal's first team. And I had these images in my mind that I would go to the game and someone might recognise me. So I thought, if a Spurs fan did, I would need to be ready. So I put a knuckle duster in my pocket.
I thought someone might recognise me. That's a bit of a stretch of the imagination, isn't it?
Believe it or not, this does take me back to my my playing days in Edinburgh. I used to play for a team, and we had a lad who was... We played a game in Nidri. And anybody from Edinburgh or that area will know exactly what I mean when I say the
accent if you get the
area.
To the story.
I don't. It doesn't help me. Okay. So we're playing in Nidri, which is a tasty area to say the least. And one of our goalkeepers was called Wolsey. That was his nickname, obviously. I've not given his proper name to protect him. And I think he was from a rival part of town, shall we say. We turned up, we were in a changing room, tiny little changing room, and I was getting changed next to him. And I noticed that he had a hammer in his rucksack. Right, we're about 14. And I was like, Wolsey, what the hell have you got a hammer for in your bag? And he just went, protection, my friend.
Did you say he was a goalkeeper?
He was our keeper, yeah. He was a nutter.
I love the idea of him hammering the ball away with an actual hammer from across.
Yeah.
You get a real bit of purchase on that.
Well, we used to train in this place in... There was a pitch... Where was it? Sort of Muirhouse Pilton Way. Again, I look back, what on earth was I doing in those parts of town? And every time, you know, a cop car went past it, everyone would be like, Wolsey, they're coming! You know, he's that type of guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. That's brilliant.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, chaps. Now, yesterday, you mentioned the Lee Sharp barbecue, Luke.
It's always never far away from my mind.
It's never far away. And you rightly said that my biggest regret of well, not my career, my life, was when I met Lee Sharp and I never asked him about this bloody barbecue. Because years ago, we had an email from somebody that mentioned this Lee Sharp barbecue when he was obviously playing at Manchester United at the height of his sort of success and fame. And we were always a bit like, what on earth happened? So I went down on an internet rabbit hole to bloody try and find out. And I've got it. I found something eventually. And in his interview with Lee Sharp, he said that he used to receive fan mail in his early 20s. Now, one can forget, or perhaps not know, depending on your age and whatnot, is that Lee Sharp was a phenomenally popular footballer.
Like
he was like the pre-runner to sort of Beckham and... Well, he's around
he was the pin-up, right,
he
sure.
was, yeah. And there was, you know, he was the sort of the Stone Roses to David Beckham's Oasis, if you will.
And don't forget Ryan Giggs. Obviously, you know, talked as that he tried to... He sort of led Ryan Giggs astray a little bit until Sir Alex Ferguson intervened.
That's right. Well, he said that he was getting so much fan mail in his early 20s. His mate said they should start the Lee Sharp fan club. And again, that was a very sort of late 80s, 90s thing of the fan club of a certain person. And they got people to answer the mail and they would send out cassettes every month so Lee could tell everybody what he was getting up to. And he said every year we'd organise a barbecue. So it happened at a nightclub on a Sunday afternoon and kids would come from everywhere and we would use supporters' buses to bring them to Old Trafford to see the club museum. Then at 2 p.m. we'd go to this nightclub. We'd have a barbecue outside and have local bands and DJs playing outside. There'd be about 2,000 kids there. Seems like a bloody good afternoon, that, Andy.
Yeah.
I think you'd agree.
Yes.
And he said...
Well, you could go there now. I mean, I'm 40 now, but it'd be a bit weird. But if I were at that age, I'd have been loving it.
You've not sent your cassettes out for years. Get back on it, man, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
He said that he took some of the young lads at Manchester United along with him once, including a young David Beckham. And Sharp said that they once put on a fashion show for these barbecues and there was all these teenage girls screaming after him and blah, blah, blah. And Barry Beckham turned round to Sharp and said, "Oh, my word, Sharp, you're a legend. I'll never have any of this." Well, how about that, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, I see the lead, Sharp.
And then, Marcus, just as an addendum to the story, what happened to David Beckham?
He went on to play in...
for Preston.
Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Unload at Preston.
And Preston North End. Yeah. So there we are. If you went to one of these barbecues or you know anybody,
there's got to be someone out there,
get in touch, for crying out loud, show@footballramble.com. you can tweet us @footballramble. Gentlemen, before we go to the Premier League, I want everybody to look at the League 2 table because it's quite lovely. Cambridge are top with 52 points and the way the teams go down all the way to 10th, they all go down by a point.
It's incredible. It's aesthetically much more pleasing to look at than I thought it would be.
Yes.
And when young Finn brought this to my attention, I just thought, oh, bless him, young lad. He's trying to find some fun stuff. But actually looking at it, it's great. Mm. And also, it's even more interesting given that teams have played like a load of jumbled up numbers of games.
Exactly.
So Carlisle have only played 26, for example, whereas Cambridge United are top. And they've played 31. Yep. So it's incredible to see. It really is. It's the story of the week for me.
I think so. So do have a quick look at the League 2 table, the top 10.
Before it changes,
Andy, exactly.
And can I also just say, I also have a very, very visceral aversion to looking at anything in League 2 after the amount of time Portsmouth spent. It takes a lot to get me to look at a League 2 table, trust me.
Indeed it does. Gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Liverpool are facing Sheffield United. Horrendous news that Alisson's father drowned in a lake near his holiday home in South Brazil on Wednesday. I mean, it's absolutely awful. And I know to put that into a sort of footballing context for Liverpool seems a bit sort of crass and whatnot, but you know they've struggled with injuries, they've struggled with sort of, you know, Klopp's, you know, his mother obviously died and an off-field sort of tragedy and so on. It's awful for Alisson.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a timely reminder, particularly in these really difficult times that we're all living through, that, you know, football players are human beings and have these you know, these things happening every day to them as well. And, you know, I know it sounds like an obvious thing to say, but actually it's not, because not often enough do football fans, or do we in the media, think of them in that way. And we've seen it happen, as you said, Marcus, with Klopp. Of course, we saw it happen not that long ago with Steve Bruce and his parents. And now we're seeing it with Alisson. It's really, really sad. And then we actually mentioned it in a slightly different context yesterday with referees, people coming up with ideas about how we can almost on the face of it, give referees more respect, but what we're actually talking about is humanising them and not seeing them as some kind of other rather than being the actual human beings that they are, trying to do their best job. And everyone goes through these tragedies, and it's a really sad story. And our condolences obviously go out to Alison and his family. And actually, Melissa Reddy's Between the Lines show this week talks exactly about this kind of thing, the idea that footballers are human beings who go through personal struggles and have psychological difficulties and stuff. So it's worth listening to as well. But yeah, very, very sad story. I completely agree.
Yeah, and so much is expected of them, I think, in the current context where football has almost become like the Truman Show, really, in the last sort of nine months or so. It's rarely been out of our lives. And, you know, I think we saw that with Thierry Henry living in Montreal. You know, the fact that he's just got to a point where I don't see my kids. They're back home in London, and I need to go home. And you know, I think it's reasonable. We've seen a couple of other players like that, you know, completely isolated from their families. And you know, it's one of the aspects of the international aspects of the game that makes it tough for a lot of players at the moment. And I think we should do better to understand that.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Going back to the football, you know, Liverpool versus Sheffield United. It's a game that, you know, Liverpool could bloody well do with a win. And the way Sheffield United have been this season, you would think that Liverpool, this is a good opportunity for them. Now, Glenn Johnson, former Liverpool player, of course, has suggested that Liverpool could sack Klopp if his form continues next season, which is quite the take, really, considering...
I don't personally see that happening. I think... You know, I think they would probably... I mean, even if you got to that stage, I imagine they would want to handle it in a far more tactful way than that anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, they're obviously... I just don't see them ever doing that. What I would say about the... not ever doing that. You know what I mean?
Deal with it in a far more tactful way, do you mean like they'd maybe move stadium and not tell him or something like that?
Just change all the locks of the training ground?
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah.
I mean that they would say, look, let's kind of deal with this the best way we can. You've decided that you all of a sudden, because lots of people have said that you might want to go and manage the German national team, right? So maybe they'll say, if those stars align, they'll say he's decided that, you know, it's best for everyone if he moves on at this point, and you know, blah blah blah. There's no way Liverpool are going to come out of a press release and go, we've sacked Jurgen Klopp. It just wouldn't happen.
True. Although, I mean, you say about, you know, maybe the German national side, some boffins at Bild have calculated that there is a 68% chance that Klopp will walk away next summer and take charge of the German national team from the start of 2023.
Well, there you go. I like the way you used boffins.
I was going to say, interesting contextual use of boffins there. Some boffins at Bild. It's like saying, editor of the Daily Star, Stephen Hawking. But to me, Klopp in charge of a national team seems quite out of context. You know, he's someone who thrives off that contact, that sort of almost mania of the game. Now, interestingly...
Day-to-day, week-to-week.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas I think, interestingly, in recent times, because the relationship between Hansi Flick and Hasan Salihamidzic at Bayern hasn't been brilliant, there's been a lot of talk in Germany about maybe Hansi Flick would take over from Jogi Löw, his old boss, as the German national coach going forward. And Karl-Heinz Rummenigge obviously had a massive strop at this and had a massive go at Oliver Bierhoff, who's kind of like a technical director, general manager of the German national team. But imagine that. How many times does that happen in international football where you've got a coach on the way out or possibly on the way out, and you've got an incredible shortlist of coaches coming up? I mean, that would be the best shortlist for an international job ever if those two were really on it.
That's a good point. It's a good point, Andy.
Mark, I was just going to say, the game itself, Sheffield United-Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I think we all agree that Sheffield United are going to be relegated this season, but it's a fascinating game, this, because Liverpool have lost their last four Premier League games in a row, right? And a lot of the time, what seems to have happened to me is they get the ball... They don't move the ball quick enough. They've got no tempo. They don't fashion out decent chances. And after a while, they start to lose faith, right? And they get punished at the back because of different reasons, perhaps because they've got some personnel missing, and key personnel, and maybe one or two other reasons. And if I was Chris Wilder, I'd be saying, look, just stick in there. Stick in there for as long as you can this game tomorrow.
But they've been quite good at that anyway this season, haven't they?
Exactly. They've been a bit unlucky, I think, Sheffield United, from what I've seen. So if they can stick in there I know it's at Anfield, but it's not. You know, there's no fans there. It's not the same as it's been. And Liverpool have lost some games against lesser opposition at Anfield recently. So, and if Liverpool and Sheffield United can get like a real character building win against Liverpool, who knows what could happen? Because Fulham have been able to breach the gap. Mm-hmm. You know, they've breached the gap, no question. I know they're in a slightly better position than Sheffield United are, but they've done it, and it doesn't look anywhere near a cut and dried relegation picture now than it did. Because of what Fulham have done. So, yeah, you never know.
Well, don't take a leaf out of Sadio Mane's book, then, he would say to his Sheffield United players, Chris Wilder, when he said, asked about the Premier League title and whatnot. He just went, it's over. It's too much. It's over. Okay, Sadio.
Does he know he's still got to turn up?
There's always
he's still got to come to games.
There's always next season. Yeah. Talking about relegation, West Brom versus Brighton. Crucial one. Crucial one, because Brighton, it was a bitter defeat on Monday night to Crystal Palace. I've never heard Jules... It was funny actually listening to not funny sorry but listening to Jules on that Tuesday morning.
It was quite funny.
It was like it's a bit like, I don't know, if you get like you hit your knee or you get hit in the balls by the football or whatever, and you sort of, everyone's like, are you okay? And you're going to go, no, I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm fine. And as you're processing it, as you're saying, I'm fine, you're thinking, you're not quite fine, you need a little bit more processing, and then we're all here with you. So I really hope that for Jules' sake that Brighton can win this game, because my goodness, you know. And if they don't, with Fulham's recent wins and draws, they do love a draw. Brighton don't want to be looking over their shoulder, and a win in this game again, it just relaxes everybody, Andy. It just takes that little bit of pressure off. But against Big Sam Allardyce, you never know.
And like after Monday night, you never know, because how is it possible to dominate a game like that and not win it? It was extraordinary. Of course, it's not the first time it's happened to them against Crystal Palace. I kind of feel that Brighton should be good enough to stay up, but I kind of feel that Newcastle will scrape enough wins despite not really being good enough to stay up as well. So, you know, Fulham have made it super interesting, and that puts, I think, another extra pressure on it, really.
Yeah. Well, West Brom fans obviously would be very, very... Well, will they be concerned, or are they sort of accepting the fact that they might go down? I mean, there's still a chance. Whenever it's mathematically possible, there's always something to play for, of course. Allardyce said midweek that they have a chance to survive if they keep 8 clean sheets in their remaining 13 games. And they have 3 so far this
year. Easy then.
It's a tall order. Yeah. It's a tall order. But Allardyce thinks relegation would not impact his credibility. He said, if you have an established record, more often than not, other jobs come along. So he's already, you know, don't worry about me, lads. I'll be okay.
Well, I think... You know, it's easy to say that clean sheet business when you've already conceded something like 2.5 goals a game on average all season.
Yeah.
So that's a bigger turnaround to do than it probably sounds like. And, you know, look, so for anyone under the age of 40, Sam Allardyce is a joke. And I would love for Brighton to beat West Brom, not because I have any problem with West Brom personally. It's an amazing club, really storied old club, and I've got... I know I always say this, but I have got a few friends who support West Brom, and good luck to them. I would like to. I also went through the pain that Jules went through on the show earlier in the week just by listening to her. I'd like her to get a win for Brighton's sake and for her sake, and I'd like West Brom to lose, because I think Sam Allardyce is an absolutely anachronistic dinosaur, and I'd love to see him relegated from the Premier League.
Well, okay, well, I appreciate you not sitting on the fence at all.
Why do I get so much shit on Twitter?
You can't say that Allardyce is a joke. I mean, you think about the job he did at Palace to keep them up, for crying out loud. You know, he's done okay.
But he's not a joke.
He's a buffoon when he comes out with stuff like that.
Okay, let me qualify it then. Okay. So, his record at a point on the pitch was a perfectly respectable one. Mm-hmm. And he's done some amazing things in his career. And I don't need to go over those again, because we all know what they are. Mm-hmm. But he has undermined his achievements on the pitch by being an absolutely ridiculous character off the pitch consistently for, I'd probably say, over 5 years now.
Okay, Luke, so, could this be seen quite simply with his England career, in that he's the only England manager that I can think of has got 100% win ratio record, and yet his off the field behaviour sort of undermined that somewhat?
Well, I don't really think that what he did there was in the cold light of day was actually bad.
Drinking a pint of wine in Wings.
But what's he even doing there? Do you know what I mean? We have to rehash that.
Wings
what I'm
is
saying
a good
is,
restaurant, though.
You cannot pushed to one side, the absolutely like ridiculous comments he makes about himself and about the game over and over again. Like he's a legend in his own lunchtime. I think he's a complete idiot. Why am I going to sound any different?
No, I think that's very fair.
Brassel involved. If Brassel puts the boot in, you know you're onto a win.
And you don't want to talk about Sam Allardyce. What I would say, though, is that type of manager, you know, with Allardyce, you know, relegation sort of specialist or whatever, is he going to leave West Brom? Well, if he does leave, then maybe they'll have Alan Pardew back. Or perhaps not, because Pardew seems to have sort of moved on. He's trying to move on from his sort of role of that sort of English manager coming in and trying to get a club going. Because he's been talking about his role at CSKA Sofia. And apparently he's enjoying the fact that he's not in a relegation scrap there. And he began his interview saying, "In Holland, my job was to keep them in the top division." This was at Den Haag, which I did. "But for once, it's really nice to not be fighting against everything. I'm fighting for something."
Which I did because the season ended. I mean, I love the way you framed that, Marcus, as the reason he won't go back to West Brom is because he's moved on. Yeah. that's quite a stretch there. I did like as well when he went on to talk about CSKA's wrestling club as well, which reminded me very much of Chiro in Gomorrah, where he goes to when he's in Bulgaria and he goes to do his business at the wrestling club, doesn't he? I can just imagine Pard's like walking through the door, sort of seeing all these wrestlers and going, I'm Chiro doing the dance.
It's worth remembering as well, Pard's saying, you're right, Andy, to point out the fact that the Eredivisie season ended and so it was Den Haag, wasn't it, stayed in the top flight. It was Den Haag, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not being completely stupid here. Yeah, so I looked this up earlier when we knew we were going to be talking about it. And season before that, Den Haag finished ninth. And the season before that, they finished seventh. So it's not as though they've been knocking on the door every year.
They got him in to be the Ghostbuster, didn't they, to save him from relegation. And as you say, Andy, it was rather good fortune that he kept them up. But there we are. All right, it's time for Betway's Four to Score.
It is indeed time for Betway's Four to Score. Every week we do it around this time. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. And it is, of course, completely free to enter. But make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Marcus Speller, the brave boy, is stepping up for game one again. It's Leicester v Arsenal on Sunday lunchtime. Marcus, who have you gone for?
Jamie Vardy.
No further questions, Your Honour. Game number two is Andy Brassel. It's Spurs versus Burnley.
And I've gone for something far more Maverick-like, Harry Kane.
I'll tell you what, I don't blame you for that either. He didn't play on Wednesday, did he, in the Europa League game?
No, he didn't.
No, okay. Interesting. Game number three is Chelsea v Manchester United, the aforementioned game. We told you already that Pete was picking. Has he gone for no goal scorer at all? Let's find out now.
All right then, it's Friday. Four to score, lovely. Harry Maguire, please. Harry Maguire, first goal in the Chelsea-Man United match. Let's see who's smiling by Monday, Lukey Moore.
So Harry Maguire for Pete. Ooh. Harry Maguire. That means it's guaranteed to be 0-0 now. Now, game number four is me, and it's Sheffield United v Liverpool, a game we've also mentioned on the show today. I've decided to be a little bit mischievous.
Ooh.
I'm still high on the John Stone shout of about 10 years ago. I've gone for Billy Sharp.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think it's brave.
Thank you very much.
I think you should have gone for a former Leicester player, because all the previous three have played for Leicester, haven't they?
No.
Interesting. Yeah, good point. Yeah, okay. I could have done that. No, I've gone for Billy Sharp. So, in summary, our four picks for first goal scorers in Betway's four selected games are Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane, Harry Maguire, and Billy Sharp. If those four players all score the first goal in those games, then we will win £50,000, which we'll give to charity. And you have a chance to win too, but make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and that you are over 18. And do gamble responsibly. Further T's and C's apply. But for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. All right, now it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. It's the long-awaited return of Andy Brassel, the champion, the current serving champion, against the people's champion,
oi, oi,
the former champion, the former number one seed, Marcus Speller. Guys, Andy, I'll come to you first. How do you feel about having to defend your title here today?
Well, the only reason I come on a Friday and turn up for this is because, listeners, Marcus flexes the guns when it's it's time for it to happen. Yeah. And, well, we're going to see how aroused I am over the course of the next five questions.
Speaking of guns and just then Sheffield United, I think it's Ender Stevens who, when he takes throw-ins down the left, I think it's old Ender.
He's ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Oh. Yeah. So, Marcus, interestingly speaking, I mean, you're a man with some fair pair of guns yourself. Or I haven't seen him in person recently for obvious reasons, but I look forward to that day returning.
Some pea shooters.
Since you lost your title, you've had two good wins against Vish and Jim. So, you've probably timed this fairly well, building back up to another title tilt.
True. I was quite fortunate against Vish, to be fair.
Well, listen, you've got to take the win and move on. Yeah. You're up first because Andy's the champion.
Big old.
So that's how it works. The first player's played for 8 clubs in total. Mm-hmm. You will know him well. Uh-huh. Everyone listening probably will know him at least fairly well, if they're of a certain age at least. He's played for 8 clubs in total. Mm-hmm. He retired in 2012. The first player, Marcus, is Sylvain Wiltord.
Going to say 4.
4, that's a very solid opening bid. Andy, can I hear 5 from you? Or perhaps even higher? You're welcome to go higher if you want.
I'll go 5.
Do I hear 6 from you, Marcus? I suspect not.
No.
Okay, Andy, one at a time, please. Could you name 5 clubs that Sylvain Wiltord has played for?
Well, of course, the best club he played for was Olympique Lyonnais.
That's correct, that's 1.
He played for the Arsenal.
He did, that's 2.
He played for Le Bordeaux.
He did. That's 3. Maybe getting back down the chateau. Sort things out down there. Need 2 more.
He still looks like he could play, doesn't he? Rennes.
Yes, indeed. That's 4.
Nantes.
Oui. That's 5.
Well played.
1-0 to Andy Brassel.
Well played.
Three spells at Rennes, Sylvain Wiltord. So he played for Rennes, a bit of time at Deportivo, then Rennes again, Bordeaux, Arsenal, Lyon, Rennes, Marseille, Metz, and ended his career at Nantes, as Andy says. Okay, Andy, you're up first for this one.
Deportivo, yeah.
Yeah. 1-0 to Andy Brassel. The next player's played for 5 clubs in total. He retired in 2006. And he is a player whose name always has to be used in its entirety whenever he's mentioned.
Well, it can't be Solly Marsh.
That's what I was thinking.
It's Rob Lee.
Rob Lee.
Andy, you're up first. 5 clubs, please.
This is difficult because he's played for quite a few clubs for a long amount of time.
Yeah, this is my... cry me a river. Just tell me him.
All right. I can go... How many did you say again?
5, please.
Right.
Play along at home. Listeners need to play along. Test themselves against the very best. And Andy and Marcus are the best at this game that I've encountered. So play along. See how you can get on. 5 clubs that Rob Lee has played for. I need a bid from you, please, Andy.
I'll give you 4.
Oh, doesn't give you much room for manoeuvre, Marcus, that.
That is very impressive. I can't do 5.
You want Andy's name before?
Andy, I tell you what, Andy is flexing his championship muscles here.
Gives you a confidence, doesn't it, having that belt?
Yeah.
Look, as long as you flex the muscles again, Marcus, we'll all be happy.
All right, Andy. So you want Andy to go 4, Marcus, yeah? Okay, Blandy, one at a time, please. 4 clubs that Rob Lee's played for.
Charlton.
That's correct. Started his career there.
Newcastle United.
Correct. Spent a long time there. 10 years.
West Ham United.
That's also correct. That's 3.
Derby County.
There's your 4.
That's
well
impressive.
Played.
That is impressive.
The only one he didn't get was Wycombe Wanderers, which he ended his career at. And there was a little curveball in there because he did sign for Oldham Athletic, but he never actually played... competitive game.
Oh no, we could have had Dietmar Hamann all over again.
Could have done.
See, Andy, I think is I can't think of a footballer or a football team that you remember. Maybe it's like, I don't know, like certain times when you play Real Madrid. Sometimes in La Liga, they just don't seem that bothered about that competition. Then it's Champions League. Like, oh, we care about this, and then they just blow everyone away. And that's what Andy's like when he's got the belt. He's like, yeah, no, this is mine, and it like, takes a long time to get it off him.
It's not done yet.
Andy's midriff has been largely unchanged for the last 5 years.
I think so.
Yeah. If only.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Marcus, a chance to bounce back in now because you're going first, and the player here has also played for 5 clubs. Mm-hmm. He's technically still playing.
Yeah.
He's Jack Rodwell.
Rodders.
5 clubs. Very gettable this for you. Get you back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you're thinking. Where's that sweet spot? What are you thinking? What's on your mind? Give us a number. This will be easier for our listeners, I think. They tend to do much better when it's a player that's still playing.
Yeah.
Got to get this right here.
I do.
It's a shit or bust for you now.
It is. Andy, how confident you are in this one?
He's just tapping away, writing away on his piece of paper. He's not going to get anything out of him. Marcus, this is your bid. I need you to give.
Not that.
I'll go three.
Andy,
I'm going to take four.
I thought he might. I couldn't quite remember the fourth. Go on.
You're going to have a guess at five. You're going to step up, or you're going to give him a chance to run all over you?
I regret not saying four now. No, I can't do five. He'll have to do four.
You sure? You don't want to take it in your own hands?
No, it's too much guessing.
Okay, all right. That'll be the tagline of this game. Too much guessing. Of course, I forgot to do the tagline at the start. Fire in the belly, head in the freezer.
That's why I'm struggling.
Yeah, sorry, mate. I didn't kick you up for it. Andy, can you please just guarantee and confirm to everyone listening you have the fire in your belly and your head in the freezer by giving us four clubs that Jack Rodwell's played for and bringing home the bacon?
I do.
Go ahead.
Right. Manchester City.
That's correct.
Sunderland.
That's also correct.
I can't quite master the Macam accent, so I wasn't going to attempt that.
Came across really well in the documentary, didn't he?
Didn't he just? Everton.
Started his career there. One more, please.
Sheffield United.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
He's still there now. That's a win for Andy Brassel. 3-0. Incredible scene.
Did he play for Middlesbrough as well?
No, the other club he played for was Blackburn Rovers.
Oh, Blackburn. I couldn't, yeah. That's a big win for Andy.
I never would have got Blackburn, actually. He played for someone... He signed for someone abroad, but never played for them.
Yeah, that was confusing me.
Didn't make it onto my list, so I couldn't tell you. Mm.
I think you're right there, Andy. I think
Dutch.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah. I for some reason, I had Middlesbrough in mind. I couldn't remember who he was bloody currently playing for because I knew he wasn't getting much game time, and it's a current Premier League side.
I mean, he doesn't actually play, does he?
No, exactly.
He doesn't really play football much.
But has he played for Sheffield United?
Yes, he has, yeah.
Okay, right. He has, yes, he counts.
No, sadly not. So the last two players we had for you, it would have been... Andy, you'd have been up first for Sokratis, who's still playing.
Four, maybe?
Marcus? Have a little spin.
No, I think there's a certain type of player that I know very, very well. And then there's others that I... and I'm thinking to myself, oh, blimey. No, go on, do your four, Andy.
Olympiacos?
Yeah.
Milan?
Yeah.
Dortmund?
Yeah.
Arsenal?
Yeah, that's great. It's remarkable the quality of clubs that Sokratis has played for.
Yeah, well,
AEK Athens, a bit of time on loan at Niki Volu, Genoa, AC Milan, Werder Bremen, Borussia Dortmund, Arsenal, and Olympiacos.
My goodness.
And the final player we had for you guys was, it would have been Andy up first. It would have been, it would have been Marcus up first. It would have been Stephen Pienaar, Marcus, who's played for seven clubs in total.
Seven clubs? Bloody hell. Three.
Should we let Marcus name his three, Andy?
Yeah, play the game.
Okay, Andy?
I'm not sure I've got more than three, actually.
Go on, Andy, have a go four. Go on, you could have a very impressive outing here if you do the whole
lot. I will go for four.
Go on, lad.
Okay, four
this
then,
Andy. This should be absolute dominant. This is Pep Guardiola's Barcelona winning 5-0 against Real Madrid. This
Dortmund.
That's correct. Although I've completely forgot you played for them.
Everton.
Spent four spells there, technically.
Four?
Yeah, because he converted some loans and some perms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tottenham.
Yes.
I'm not sure which one. I'm going to go for Ajax Cape Town.
Very good. Yes, that's also correct. That's 5-0. That's a battering.
Do you know what? I hold my hands up there.
Yeah, what can you do?
That is very impressive.
Shut your face and flex those guns.
Do you know, I can't flex anything, Andy. When I'm treated like that, I just have to lie down like a little poodle. I have to just roll over.
Let me just give you the rundown very quickly. Ajax Cape Town, Ajax, Borussia Dortmund, Everton, Spurs, Everton again, Sunderland and Bidvest Wits, who I've never heard of, but he played for them as well. So there you go. 5-0 to Andy. Well played.
The thing with this game I find that's quite difficult as the weeks go by is so many players have had undignified spells at Sunderland that it makes you think that everyone played for Sunderland at some point.
Yeah, it's very true. Andy, I'll tell you what, you can pull the stuff like that out of your locker in a way that no one else can, but then you could, you went down that famous time 3-0 quite early on to Cape Mason. You know, you, it's when you fall, you fall. You're like, as I say, a big side like that, like Spain dominating the international scene, and then suddenly somebody comes along, gets a lucky punch, and then you fall. Yeah. And it wasn't me today.
So you're saying that Andy Brassel's defeat to Cape Mason was when Spain got knocked out in the group stage of the World Cup?
Yeah, I think so. But he's back stronger now. He's come back.
Yeah, yeah. He looks very good. He's on great form, and I hope everyone listening enjoyed that. I mean, play along at home, as I say, but Brassel looks like he's going to take some beating in the weeks to come.
Very much so. Very much so. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back on Monday, of course, for more Ramble chat. Enjoy the weekend's football. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.